Okay, water bottle's full. Microphone is positioned. Got my gin and tonic. Yeah, I think we're good to go. Of course, the gin and tonic is already halfway gone. I should have just made a double instead of a single, but I need a larger glass. Now, I think I have some larger glasses, but have you seen the status of the gin bottle? It's getting really low. You know, it's part of your job to fucking replenish the gin. It is. It's your job. It's in the job description. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. You can shove your opinion up your ass that way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Oh, and don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, my friends, you are wrong. And I am right. You know how that happens? It happens like this. It happens because I am always right. I have always been right. I will always be right. I'm right right now. I am right all the fucking time. You know how I'm right? Simple. I'm never wrong. This is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile on my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. Doesn't matter where you are. If you are a stupid motherfucking statist, and I find out about you, I will make fun of you, I will insult you, I will launch the cruise missile. And if you're within range, I won't use the cruise missile, we will mow you down with the 50 caliber machine gun. Why? Because I like watching when the bullets hit your body and fucking kill you. Alright. Hold on. There we go. Just want to make sure the mic cord was not getting pulled out. Don't pull out. Yes. All right. Greetings. I am the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. You can email us at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, CYNLIBSOC.com. In the control room, the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is the 16th of February, 2015. It's fucking cold outside. Got fucking winter. What the hell? We were having like this miniature summer for a while. It's like 70 fucking degrees in February in Colorado. I'm like, yes, global warming, motherfucker. Yes, I love global warming. Even though global warming doesn't actually exist, the weather just changes because that's what the weather does. The weather changes. But hey, we'll build a religion around it to explain. You know, global warming is a religion in more ways than one. I've talked about this, and I keep intending to do a like an updated series on global warming, because I've talked about global warming ad nauseum in the past. And while I enjoy the fuck out of making fun of global warming wackos, I really haven't talked about it much lately, because in some ways, I feel like I've said everything I need to say about it, and it's just like, my God, it's like, you know, making fun of global warming wackos is like making fun of retarded children. It's fun to do, but it's easy. You know, I mean, there's no challenge. One of these days, though, I will fucking get around to it, because in addition to making fun of them, there are all the things about global warming you can point out, right? For example, the fact that there are all these computer models, they all predict different things and none of them are right. That's your first indicator the computer models aren't actually accurate. If the computer models worked, if they were accurate, then every computer model out there would give the same results, right? It's like, again, it's like mathematics. Okay, if math actually works, everybody who adds 2 plus 2 gets 4. And of course, we can talk about how global warming has no control group, it's not actually science, how the data that goes back, they say, well, this is the warmest year since 1800, right? You can't compare data points from the year 2014 taken with satellites to data points from the year 1800 taken with mercury thermometers. Again, that's not science. You can't take data points that come from different sources and put them together and say that this is a complete data set. And of course, global warming is not science because there is no null hypothesis for global warming. Any actual valid scientific theory has to have a null hypothesis. What that means is, for those of you who don't understand that, it means that there has to be some set of conditions that would prove the theory to be wrong, right? For example, the theory of gravity has a null hypothesis. If I take a rock and I pick the rock up and I let the rock go, and the rock, instead of falling to the planet Earth, the rock, and it's a real rock, like this isn't some kind of fucking trick question, okay? Like, oh, the rock has helium, or the rock has a string tied. No, this isn't a fucking, okay, if the rock floats up in the air and moves away from the Earth instead of going towards it, you have disproven the theory of gravity. Now, that's never happened, but the point is, if it did happen, it would say, hey, there's a flaw in the theory of gravity. Or if, for example, somebody actually found a Homo sapien skeleton next to a dinosaur skeleton, well, that in itself would not necessarily disprove evolution, but it would say the theory of evolution as we currently understand it is incorrect, right? So those are a null hypothesis. A null hypothesis is a set of conditions that, if it occurs, would show a scientific theory or thesis or law, and there's a difference between the three, to be incorrect. Right? Global warming has no null hypothesis. If it's hotter than normal, well, that's because of global warming. If it's colder than normal, well, that's because of global warming. If the temperature is exactly the same as last year, that's because of global warming. Right? If there's more hurricanes, global warming. If there's fewer hurricanes, global. Anything that happens with the climate, well, it's always global warming. If you cannot come up with a null hypothesis for global warming, some conditions that would say, hey, this means global warming isn't happening, it's not a valid scientific theory. It's just a religion. So let me get to what I was going to get to before I forget. Excuse me. That's me taking a drink of gin and tonic and then almost fucking choking to death on it, because that's what I do on this podcast, because I'm a professional. Because I've been doing this for 10 fucking years. Have I mentioned lately 10 fucking years of stating the obvious? 10 years of podcasting. So all you whippersnappers out there that, I'm going to start a podcast, fuck you and shut up. 10 years of podcasting, motherfuckers. That's 120 months. All right. There'd be a lot more episodes if I hadn't gone a couple of time periods in there where I wasn't recording. There was that one year I only did one episode the entire... What? Yes! Randy is telling me to fucking talk about what I'm supposed to be talking about so that I can move on to the things I'm actually supposed to be talking about. Back in the day, one of the theories... I wasn't there when this... You know, I was not around 10,000 years ago or whenever. But one of the theories, one of the ideas that has been put forth that I've read about how religions originally started was this. Again, I don't know if this is true or not. I wasn't alive back then. But it makes a lot of sense. Primitive men and women, because that's sexist and shit, primitive men were hanging out and they were developing intelligence. Well, they had intelligence. I mean, you know, there's a lot of evidence. But again, this is what I've read. I wasn't there. This is what scientists have said. So it must be true. It's like global warming. All scientists believe in it, so it must be true. That's another indicator global warming is a religion. When you say to people, why do you believe in global warming? When they say, well, every scientist believes in global warming. Well, it's not evidence. Okay, that's a religion. That's a belief system. That's a meme. And not a meme like an internet meme. That's a meme using the word meme in the way it actually means, what it actually means. That's using the word meme as it is actually defined. But that's not evidence. The fact that everyone believes something is not evidence for its existence. If you take a fucking philosophy or logic class, that's one of the first things you learn, is that everybody believing something is not evidence. It just means everybody believes it. Anyway, so there's all these men sitting around. There's no football for them to watch yet because it's 10,000 years ago or 20,000 years ago. I don't know how old religions are. I don't give a shit. They're old. They're hanging out. There's no football. They've already had sex. They've done their hunting. They're good to go. So they're looking around and they're theorizing about the world around them. Where did these things come from? Right, there's trees and there's stars and there's mountains and there's animals. And so what the fuck are the stars? And why is the weather the way it is? And where did all of this come from? And do these animals have intelligence? And where do the animals come from? And oh, what does all of this mean? And because it is beyond their comprehension, that was me getting distracted. Because it's beyond their comprehension, they create stories about it. They look at things and they create stories to explain this stuff. And these stories become mythology and they become religion. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we as humans do. As humans, we look at things, we look for patterns, we seek explanations. It's part of the way our brains function. And so religions emerged because these primitive men were looking at the world around them and seeking explanation for things that were beyond their understanding. And thus, religion and mythology. Global warming is essentially the same thing. You've got a bunch of people who think that they are scientists. They don't actually understand the scientific method. If you talk to a global warming wacko and ask them, you know, what is the null hypothesis for global warming, most of them, especially ones who say, I'm a scientist, don't actually know what a null hypothesis is. Right? These are not actual scientists. These are just primitive men who are looking at the world around them, and they can't understand anything that's happening. Right? The idea that the climate changes, that the weather is different as time goes by, is beyond their understanding. And because it's beyond their understanding, they create a mythology to explain it. And that mythology is called global warming. Gin and tonic. Oh man, it's delicious. So there it is. All right, we're 13 minutes into the cast. I can get started. Where are my notes? There's my notes. That was not something I was intending to talk about. It truly popped into my brain as I was rambling right there, and I just wanted to say it. I need to write that down. Global warming in my mind. So I remember to put that in the show notes. Remember, when you're doing a professional podcast, there should not be long moments of silence where nobody's talking. However, I do what the fuck I want here because we're anarchists. It's anarchy. It's total anarchy at this podcast right now. Buildings are being burned down. Women are being raped. Oh, wait, that's 50 Shades of Grey. Never mind. We'll talk about that some other time in the future. Oh, wait a minute. Beautiful segue. So if you listen to the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, I had started off reading some questions from E. Jean in Elle magazine, because the questions, as I said, and to set the stage again, I love reading these questions that writers of Elle magazine send into E. Jean, because Elle magazine is, of course, aimed at upper middle class and above white women in North America. And so by reading these questions, you really get a sense of what are the great burdens that afflict upper middle class and richer white women in North America. And you can see just how incredibly pathetic these women are by the questions they write in to Ask E. Jean. The next one here is called Thrifty Shades of Gray. That's a little title they gave it. So it just segues into the whole 50 Shades of Gray, which, as my understanding, is it released on Valentine's Day. I have no clue how much money it made, but I'm sure women creamed their panties all over the place. But like I said, we'll talk about that in the future. I actually watched a Stefan Molyneux video about this today, and I got another one I'm going to watch. When we're done here, I'm going to have to get around to some photo editing that I'm being paid to do, so I got to get that shit done. So I'm listening. Anyway, here we go. Ask E. Jean, the next question. This is great. Dear E. Jean, I haven't even hit my prime yet. I'm in my mid-30s. Okay, first of all, honey, women hit their prime at 16. See, this is the delusion of the modern white upper middle class or richer woman, is that their prime is in their 40s or something. And this is because old women are trying to pretend that they are desirable because they're old. I've talked about this before, especially extensively in my podcast about the birth control scam, where I referenced Troublemaker in a blog post he wrote, where the whole thing was talking about how women, when they're young and healthy and capable of having children, are told not to have children, that they should go get jobs, which of course getting a job means they're paying taxes, that supports the state. And then when these women are old, when they're 35, when they're 40, when they're 45, when their body is no longer interested in having children, then they should have children, because of course at this point they will need to go to the medical establishment and pay a bunch of money to get fertility treatment so that they can have children they didn't want to have when they were young and could have children by simply fucking. So then they have to pay a bunch of money to the multi-billion dollar medical industrial complex. The medical industrial complex makes money, and of course taxes are paid on all of this. So all this is a giant scam. So anyway, she says that I have not even hit my prime yet. Well, you have. You hit your prime when you were 16. If you're a girl, you're 16 to 19. Once you're, you know, at the best, 26 at the best. Once a woman hits 26, it's all downhill from that point. And I know, and yes, I know there's a couple of exceptions out there. You're not one of them. Trust me. I haven't even hit my prime yet. I'm in my mid-30s, well-rounded, balanced, always take good care of myself, etc. But, see, there's always a but. Recently, the husband and I were looking at old photos, and he exclaimed over and over, quote, "How young you used to look." Well, because you're in your mid-30s and you're not young anymore. See, when you were young, you looked young. But you're living in a delusional world where you believe that being in your mid-30s means you haven't reached your prime yet. E, those pictures were only 4 years old. Well, yes, 4 years ago you looked a lot younger. Because a woman who's getting old goes downhill really fast in 4 years. Especially, I mean, do you really eat right? Do you really exercise? Are you taking care of yourself? Blah, blah, blah. Or are you kind of letting all that stuff go to the side because you're a career woman and, you know, you're a woman here, you roar, and feminism and all this other shit. His comment is playing on a loop in my head to the point where I don't even want to leave the house. So the husband said that you used to look young 4 years ago, and now she doesn't even want to leave the house because of what she... And women claim that what they look like is not important, and then when I say things like if a woman is not getting attention, she doesn't exist, and women get offended by that. Here this woman is saying she doesn't want to leave her house because her husband said she looked younger 4 years ago. I mean, among other things, all of us looked younger 4 years ago. Randy, 4 years ago, you looked younger. Just letting you know that. 4 years ago, I looked younger. I was not as sexy, because I get sexier every fucking day. But I did look younger 4 years ago. This is a reality of life, okay? This is how fucking things happen. I am happier than ever. Love this man more than I ever thought possible. Know he loves me in every possible way, and I have to admit to having more gray hair than I had 4 years ago. So why is this comment bothering me? Whenever I bring up dyeing my hair, my husband tells me he loves my grays. She's in her mid-30s, and she's already getting gray hair. Honey, you're past your prime. Just accept that you're past your prime. You're in your mid-30s. You're old. For a woman, you are old. Okay? But don't worry. You've got Obama. He's going to give you free motherfucking birth control. He's going to give you free health care. You got your career. You've got this beta male husband who loves you and all this other shit. Just shut the fuck up and deal with it. Oh my God. So I worked with, oh my God, like totally. Like, hold on. Let me digress and tell this story. Like, oh my God, like totally. After I have a drink of gin and tonic. I recently, for those of you new to the show, I am a photographer, among other things. I recently worked with a model who has this beta male who follows her around and is her, like, servant. I mean, this guy is literally her servant. It's this fat, ugly, gap-toothed piece of shit that has two children with a woman he's not married to, and green hair and the IQ of a turnip. And she's like, go get this for me. And he's like, okay. And she's like, go get that. Okay. And he, like, drives her around. I mean, he's just like total submissive beta male, which of course is what the feminist would love all men to be, except of course for those rare men who are stalker rapist billionaires, like the guy from 50 Shades of Grey. And those women, they want to have, no, those men are the men women want to have sex. Did I mention, I can't remember if I mentioned this or not, I had this thought the other day, this occurred to me, that I've always looked at women who make these career choices, like to go into social work and welfare type things and parole officers, you know, dealing with people who are criminals and such. I've always looked at this as women with their women manifesting in a misguided way their desire to help other people. And I had a revelation the other day that while that might be part of it, I think another aspect of this, and I need to write this down so I put it in the show notes. Okay. I think another aspect of this is that chicks go into social work and welfare work and child protective and all this other shit because it gives them an opportunity to interact with a large number of men who are violent criminal types. And those are the kind of men that women most desire to have sex with. And it, you know, it makes sense. As everyone always says, right? If you want to meet girls, what do? You go where there are girls. And what kind of girls do you want to meet? Do you want to meet girls who like to ride horses? Well, then you go to a fucking horse stable. Do you want to meet girls who like art? Well, then you go to a fucking art gallery, right? Whatever kind of girls you like, you go to a place where those girls would be fine. Would be fine. Whew. Not even drunk yet, and I can't fucking talk. You go to a place where those girls would be found. You like girls who listen to heavy metal? Go to heavy metal concerts, right? Okay, So it's the same thing with women. I mean, if women are looking for men, you go to the places where you're going to find the kind of men you like. And since women so much want to have sex with abusive, violent type men, cops, you know, soldiers, criminals, drug dealers, I mean, just look at the men that women glorify and are attracted to. It makes sense. It makes sense for those women to go into professions where they're going to interact with a large number of violent criminals or men who are at least potentially violent. You know, child protective services, welfare, blah, 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 blah. Randy, I lost the paper. There it is. This is me not drunk. I'm going in trouble. If I have another drink, I'm shot. Gin and tonic. By the way, computer upgrades here at Cynical Libertarian Society finally done. Everything seems to be functioning. We'll find out once we record this cast. Everything seems to be good. Okay, here we go. Hey, speaking of... Speaking of women's desire to be fucked by scumbags, let's move to the next question. Question: I'm a beautiful, strong woman. If you have to say you are, it's because you're not. She's a beautiful, strong woman, which means she's really fat, really overweight, and she's a femistatist. You have to learn how to interpret woman talk. I'm a beautiful, strong... This podcast has so turned into ripping on women. It has. I fully admit that. I have really transitioned to a large degree from talking about pure statism to talking about women. But it is because women are the fucking drivers of statism. They are. They really fucking are. I mean, men would allow men who don't want to work for a living to starve to death and die. If there were only men, there wouldn't be anybody, because there wouldn't be any children, because men can't reproduce. But let's say in some theoretical weird world where this could happen, there were only men, there would be no fucking welfare program, because men would look at the, because the men who produce would be, you know, the men who actually make money, like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and me and people who work for a living and are not fucking parasites on society. We would look at the people who aren't working and want to be parasites, and we'd just be like, fuck you, starve to death and die, dude. You can fucking get a job, suck my cock. But the entire fucking welfare industrial complex, the military industrial complex, the prison industrial complex, all of this stuff comes about because of women. Women really are the drivers of statism. I mean, my God, look what happened when we let women, I have shit to do with it. Look what happened when women suddenly started making political decisions. Welfare system exploded. Wars all over the fucking place. The prison population starts going up. The fucking whores pushed the drive to make, what do you call it? Alcohol. The shit that I'm drinking right now. To make alcohol illegal. Right? I mean, women are the main pushers of statism. Not to say that there aren't statist men. There are lots of statist men. But a lot of them are also statist only because they think, hey, if I'm a statist fucker, I'll get laid. It's just like men who are feminist, right? They're only femisimps, not all of them, but some of them are only femisimps because they think, well, if I just kiss her ass and agree with her enough, she will eventually have sex with me. When, of course, we know that women actually have sex with men who are like the 50 Shades of Grey guy, who are violent, who are psychos, and who are rich. And that's why women love working in things like social welfare programs, because that's where they get to meet scumbags. Like the E. Jean letter I read many moons ago is one of my favorites. That's why I still remember it, where this chick wrote in. She's like, yes, I'm married to this wonderful guy. I mean, not married. She's engaged to this wonderful guy, and he bought her a diamond ring, and he bought her a car and all this other stuff. But she was having sex with an unemployed guy who lives with his parents and has a bunch of debt. And she didn't know what to do. And I mean, that is right there. That is the woman, the type of woman, that is the female mindset that brings us statism, right? There's this man who actually makes money, who's capable of taking care of me, who supports himself, he's not a parasite, and he wants to marry me, but I want to have sex with this unemployed, debt-ridden guy who lives with his parents, because that guy is a fucking scumbag. And as a woman, there's some biological imperative in my DNA that says I need to fuck the shittiest male specimen that I can find. And women are the drivers of statism. I think that's a big part of why I've shifted that, and I'm just sick of their shit. And I know, like I said, well, you're just making fun because you can't get fucked. I can get fucked. I have women telling me to go get fucked all the time, buddy. It's not because I can't get fucked. It's because women are fucked up. And it's because I like women, and I want women to stop being fucked up. Because women, in their fucked upness, are destroying our fucking society. They are the drivers of statism. All right, let's get back to the question. I'm a beautiful, strong woman with a PhD in psychology, in love with an old, stubborn, fat guy. So remember now, she has a PhD. She's educated. She's so smart in psychology. And she's in love with an old, stubborn, fat guy. Again, which goes to show you that with men, what really matters, here we go, he's rich. What really matters with men, in the sense that when women are saying, what man do I want to fuck, what matters is how much resources they have and are they scumbags. So she says, he's rich, he's brilliant, and oh yeah, he's another woman's husband. Again, who's she fucking? The scumbag, the guy who's cheating on his wife. Why? Because he's rich. He doesn't have sex with her, but he won't leave her either. So she's fucking this guy who is married but doesn't have sex with his wife. So not only is he cheating on his wife, he's breaking the contract of marriage that he voluntarily made with this woman, but he's not even fucking the woman he's married to. Double scumbag. It's one thing to marry somebody and fuck someone else, but it's another thing to marry somebody, fuck somebody else, and not fuck the person you're married to. Double scumbag, and he's rich. And that's why this strong, beautiful woman with a PhD is so attracted to him, even though he's old, stubborn, and fat. And you wonder why I say women should not have jobs. Can you imagine a woman this dumb being CEO of a corporation? Am I too involved to see the writing on the wall? No, you're not too involved. You're too stupid. Okay, next question. I have done a very bad thing. I forced my lover into marriage with ultimatums, etc. And now my sweet, sensitive, tender man has turned into a nightmare. He says the most terrible things to me, derides the fact that I'm a vegetarian, and makes love to me only twice a week. I'm drained. So, in other words, she forced this person into marrying her with ultimatums, with threats of violence, and now that they're married, he's treating her like shit. Imagine that. Again, here we see the statism. She used force, she used threats of violence, she used threats of whatever it is, whatever kind of ultimatums they are. She doesn't give us any details, of course, on her ultimatums. But she used threats of violence to manipulate another person into marrying her, and now the person is treating her like shit. And she doesn't understand why. By the way, you should be made fun of for being a vegetarian because vegetarians are idiots. and you're only making love to her twice a week. Hey, you could be married to this old, stubborn, fat guy who only makes love to his wife never and is instead fucking some other woman on the side because she's beautiful and strong and has a PhD. Oh. Again, here we see the statism. I used violence. I used the threats to force someone to do what I want, and now they're not being nice to me. Wah, wah. Wah, wah. That was me getting distracted. Squirrel! Dear Eugene, my wife recently confessed to me she read my diary. It contained very personal information, most of which was about her and my fears regarding our marriage. After apologizing, she got angry with me for being upset. Am I wrong to make this about trust and respect, or should I just forgive and move on? Well, no. Because you see, women are not bound by any set of morality or virtues. You need to understand that women can do whatever the fuck they want, which includes reading some personal shit. It's your fault. You wrote the shit down and you left it where she can find it. It's just like Jennifer Lawrence and her titty pictures. You took pictures of your titties, you put them on the internet. Don't be surprised when somebody finds your titty pictures on the internet and puts them on the internet for everybody. Okay? That's how this shit works. If you don't want your woman to read your diary, don't write a diary, because women cannot be held to any form of moral, ethical standards like men can. Women are not capable of making moral judgments, of having moral standards, blah, 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 so forth and so on. Gin and tonic is almost gone. I'm really upset about that. It's an article here in EL magazine. Excuse me, not E. E is a different thing. Even I know that. E is the television show or television network or something. Who cares? It's an article here, which I'm not going to read any of it. But it's entitled Crying Game. And the tagline here says, for years, we've been told weeping is a sign of weakness, especially in public. But is bawling now the new power move? Crying for women has always been the power move, because crying is one way women have of playing the victim card. How many times have I talked about this? The victim card. Victimhood is how women get and keep their power. This is why women are creating more and more and more ways to be discriminated against, to be oppressed, to be raped, all of this stuff, right? This whole thing we've got now where if you look at a woman, it's raping her. And yes, there are people who say that if you look at women, that is the same thing as rape. It's I'll get to it. I have a fucking op-ed piece that actually makes that claim, okay? This is why they're creating all of these new forms of victimhood, oppression, discrimination, and rape. Because they know that victimhood is their source of power. It's their path to power. Should I do this or should I do that? This or that? Hold on, how long is this? Here's 50 Shades of Grey. Here's 50 Shades of Grey movie, pimping some makeup. God. And then here's an article here. This is all Elle magazine. Here's an article here about some woman whining about that she's flat-chested. Again, because women are so deep, right? Women aren't shallow like men are. Men, all they care about is women's titties. But women aren't like that at all. And here's this article where this chick is complaining, talking about how traumatic it is, and she has to deal with the fact that she's not a double D like all the other women in her family, and she has smaller titties, and oh, it's just so terrible to have small titties. Because, you know, women, they're so fucking deep. They're just so deep. Not like men who just care about titties. No, women are deep. Let me knock this out. Onward, Christians, soldiers. Ruth Shalit Barrett meets the actor poised to satisfy millions of women's deepest yearnings as 50 Shades brooding billionaire sex god Kristen Gray. So this is the millions of women's deepest yearnings to have a billionaire stalk them, tell them they can't spend time with their friends, and verbally, mentally, emotionally abuse them and have bondage sex with them. This is millions of women's deepest yearnings. Now listen to this writing. And again, ask yourself, do you want this woman to be your boss, to be your CEO, to be a teacher? Should a woman who writes this as an expression of what's going on in her mind, should she have any kind of responsibility or power? Should she be taken seriously in any way? Here we go. My heart is pounding. My legs are pure jelly. I'm a quivering mess. Christian Gray is sitting across from me. He's so good looking, it's unnerving. His hair is tousled. His gaze is steely like molten gray fire. Oh my, I swallow my Diet Coke convulsively. What's happening? What's he going to do now? His long-fingered hands reach for the cheese plate. I gasp and flush scarlet as he piles macangolo and chorizo on crusty bread. Mmm, he says. He looks at me, his eyes full of some unfathomable question. Holy cow! Could this be more erotic? Is this whole grain mustard? He asks. My heart pounds faster. The blood thumps in my ears. I go into cardiac arrest. Oh! But see, women are not shallow. Women are so deep. She's so interested in his intellectual skills. She's intrigued by what a fantastic parent he will make to their children. Right? It's not a shallow thing at all. It has nothing to do with his hair or his gaze. There's no emotional responses here whatsoever. Women are not like men who are just, you know, see titties and just be like, oh, I want to fuck that. No. Women have no erotic desires like that towards men whatsoever. Women make all of their choices about men based on intelligence and rationality. Then there's another little quote. This is this actor who's playing Kristen Gray. I don't know who the actor is. I don't give a fuck. This is him talking. He helps himself to say whatever. Quote, I think a lot of people try to undermine the whole thing, but it's hard to undermine something that's so successful. Mass appreciation doesn't always equate to something good. Think of Hitler. But I think in this case, it must. It simply must. There's got to be merit in it if so many people agree. Unquote. What he's talking about is there must be merit in 50 Shades of Grey because so many people like it. Again, with the global warming. Just because people believe it doesn't mean it's true. He says right here, hey, all these people loved Hitler, but Hitler wasn't a good guy. But see, this is different. There's a whole bunch of people who like 50 Shades of Grey, so it must be a good thing. This is totally different. Ultimately, who cares? Ultimately, it just shows what I and other people have been saying about women, is that women are attractive to abusive men. Duh. Fucking duh. It shows what I and other people have been saying. Women want to be sexually dominated. Duh. It's a good thing. I think, in the sense that it illustrates what I and other people have been saying to be true is true. But of course, the femistatists are going to concoct some kind of explanation for why women being attracted to this fictional character who sexually dominates and stalks and abuses women does not mean that women like to be abused and stalked and dominated. Where are we at on time there, Miss Randy? Okay. That I'm going to save. So, a needle pulling thread. We're going to go out on this. Because we are going out. It's going to happen. That is fucking weak. Okay, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's totally okay. Just roll with it. That is the weakest shit ever. Hang on. I'm going to try this. All right, we're going to have to go at that in the future. Again, you guys have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. It's okay. Randy and I are doing some. It's because of the computer upgrade. It's software-related shit. All right, more. Oh, there's always more. Ask E. Jean questions. Again, an insight into the first world problems of upper middle class white women. Yes, the first. I like that. First world problems of upper middle class white women. I have to write that down or I'm going to forget. Hold on. And I'll probably still not remember. I cannot fucking talk. Considering I cannot read my own handwriting, I wonder what this. All right. Here we go. Dear E. Jean, I feel wretched and ungrateful writing this letter about a man who is responsible, dependable, and a great cook. But I've continually begged, pled, and shed tears, asking for just a little more foreplay, a little more warmth. Do most men just want to have quick sex, or are there a few good men who actually like to take their time? Well, you see, honey, there are, but those men who like to take their time are usually not violent, criminal, rapist, stalkers who emotionally abuse women. And because you're an upper-middle-class white woman from North America, you are attracted to assholes. And you got what you wanted with this man. Deal with it. Dear E. Jean, immediately after we have sex, and remember, women are not all about sex, right? That's why all these questions to E. Jean revolve around sex. I'm fucking this guy who doesn't fuck his wife, and my man doesn't foreplay enough before we fuck, and now here's one who doesn't foreplay enough after, right? But of course, women are not obsessed by sex, not at all, not like men. Men are just, all they think about is fucking, because men are just perverts, and they're sick, and they're broken, and they need to be fucking just, they're all raping. They need to be put in prison. But see, women never think about sex. Women are these pure, pristine creatures who are just so wonderful and intelligent. If only they ran the world, then everything would be perfect. Okay. Right, Randy, you never think about sex, do you? Exactly. Randy said she only thinks about sex two times. When she's having sex and when she's not having sex. Hey, what a coincidence! Same with me. Immediately after we have sex, which is generally amazing, my boyfriend becomes distant and dismissive. He falls asleep quickly and can't even handle my arm being placed gently over him as I lie beside him. He actually swats me away. I understand that men are wired differently than women, but this is ridiculous. I like how she says, I understand, but I don't approve of it. Right? I understand men are wired differently, but this is ridiculous. I understand that there's a difference here, but I don't like the fucking difference. Why? Because I'm a woman. And anytime I'm not getting my way, that's oppression, because I am an upper middle class white woman from North America. The next day, he's back to his usual self and will make me coffee in the morning. Before lovemaking, he couldn't be sweeter or more romantic. Even though we don't actually have intercourse, I'm waiting till I'm married. He has all the best moves related to the act. Our relationship is about real love, and we've been close for many years. I am not an overly clingy soul, but I can't stand the feeling of being seduced and abandoned. So hold it. After lovemaking, immediately after we have sex, but she says she's never had intercourse. Okay. She's waiting until she's... Honey, the fact that this guy is this good and is putting up with the fact that you're not going to fuck until you get married, you should be really fucking happy. Because most men, any sane man, would not put up with this shit. It's just... No. Those fucking days of waiting till you get married, that shit's over with. The fucking 50s, they're gone. You need to shut the fuck up and recognize you are really fortunate that a man this good is putting up with your little fucking I'm not going to have intercourse until I get married ass, okay? Shut the fuck up with your fucking first world fucking upper middle class white girl from North America problems. Dear Eugene, I was born with a man's body. I was born with my own body. I think most people were. This guy was born with a man's body. I was born with a man's... I was trying to be funny. It wasn't that funny. Never mind. I was born with a man's... You see, the joke was, it's like, so he came out of the womb and he had a man's body in addition to his body. That was the joke I was going for. It didn't work. Okay, let it go, man. It didn't work. It wasn't funny. It wasn't... I was born with a man's body, but when I'm at home, I dress like a woman, because I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I also enjoy being dominated by a woman, being a kind of sex slave, in particular if she is pretty and feminine. Well, who doesn't? The problem is that kind of woman who would enjoy going to bed with a man who dresses as a woman is very difficult to find. Yes. Yes, she is. Because women don't want to have sex with men who dress like women. Women want to have sex with men who are criminals, who are rapists, who cheat on their wives, and who are scumbags. Duh. Duh. I don't have to bother with the other side. I am always right. Been saying for years, women like to have sex with men who are pieces of shit. Women don't want to have sex with men who dress like women. Women want to have sex with men who treat them like shit.